Amen. Thank you, Joe and praise team, Joe and Terry. Awesome reminder. If you'll take out a Bible and turn with me, I'll just give a brief note from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack right there in front of you. Hebrews is near the back. As Joe said, we're going to say a few words about Abraham. Just take a lesson out of the door with us today about giving and investing in eternity. That's kind of our theme for the month or the next few weeks as we talk about what the Bible says and how we can live in a way that impacts eternity beyond this world. How we can use our resources as well as our abilities and our talents, as well as our time management principles, as well as our relationships. How can we do all of that in a way that has an impact in eternity, that goes beyond this world, something that's not just here today and gone tomorrow, but something that lasts for eternity? The Bible gives very clear guidance, very good wisdom in how to do that in every aspect of our lives. In fact, we'll find, if you want to go ahead and take out the green sheet in your bulletin, you can kind of track along as we review just a little bit, but we find that Jesus gives tons of investment advice as far as investing in eternity throughout the Scriptures. He talks more about the investment in the kingdom than anything else in the Bible. He talks about how to invest our time, efforts, and our resources in ways that go beyond this world. That is the utmost interest to Jesus. Remember last week we talked about how he talked about the building your house upon the rock or building your house upon the sand, how one is wise and one is foolish. Because in the storms of life you need an anchor, and that anchor is Jesus. That anchor is faith in him and a relationship to God. Now, he also gives investment advice in that same place in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. I put the verse there in your notes for you. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me just say that we invest in things that we are passionate about. We invest in things that we are passionate about, don't we? I mean, if you believe in it, if you love it, if you like it, you are going to invest in it. If you love to exercise and you love to go and do whatever it takes to make your body fit, you are investing in one of those clubs nearby your house so that you can go there and no matter rain or shine, you have a place where you can work out, and it's okay to spend money to do that because you're passionate about that. We find that's true about anything in life. And that's why Jesus said, it's where your heart is. That's where your treasure is. That's where your heart is. You want to know what you're passionate about? You look at your checkbook. That's what you're passionate about. What you give to. Think about, what are you passionate about? Look at your time. Look at your daily log of what you do, your day timer, your planner. You make time for the things that you're passionate about. You give resources to the things that you're passionate about. It's true, and Jesus knows that, and he says, if you want to, you have to get passionate about the kingdom. Now, we're going to sing in just a moment. We'll sing again and have a moment of reflection, a moment where you can have to say, you know, what am I doing? What do I even know Christ? If you're not passionate about Christ, if you're not passionate about a relationship to God, if you're not passionate about eternity, then I wouldn't expect you to want to invest in it. We give people opportunities to find out how to be more involved in that. We are a place here, not that tries to tell people how to believe or what to believe. We just want to provide opportunities for people to come to know God, the God of the universe, the God who created us in a personal way so that he affects your life, so that you are a part of eternity with us. We'll have that opportunity at the end here. But what do we have to invest? We say, okay, I want to invest in eternity. I want my life to move on from here. I don't want this to be the end all. I want everything that I do, whether it's a handshake or a dollar bill or whether it's my time, I want it to last. I want it to make an impact. I want it to make a difference. How do we do that? What do we have to invest? We have ourselves, our time, our resources, our talents. We actually have a whole lot that God has blessed us with that he expects us to invest back into the kingdom. So let's review real quick two things that we discovered as we looked at God's Word and we looked at the lessons from the life of Abraham, is that we learned from the Scripture that, number one, ownership is a God thing. Anytime that we think we own anything, whether you hold the deed in your hand or whether you have the title to your car, it is not yours. It is a biblical principle that everything on this earth, you included, belongs to God. Everything belongs to Him. It is all His. He is the owner. When we say we're the owner, when we treat things as if we own them, then we are way out of line with any kind of kingdom work. God owns. We do not. Whether it's in your pocket or your pocket itself, God owns it. Ownership is a God thing. When we pretend or trick ourselves into thinking we own anything, we're just playing God. And that goes to the second point, which is we are called to be stewards. The Bible uses the word stewardship. We are called to be stewards of the time God gives us, of the health God has blessed us with, of the families that God has blessed. What good stewardship for Dwayne and Mary Kate to stand here with their children and say, God has given us these children. We want to dedicate it to them. We want to be good stewards of these children. That's stewardship. They don't own those kids. They are simply keeping them in the name of the Lord for God. And that's true with all of our resources, our talents, our time, and who we are. So it becomes important. So how do we do that? How do we get around that? We have to get that mindset. Abraham's model for us in Hebrews chapter 11 was, and there's an acrostic we did last week. It said faith. All right, it was a kingdom viewpoint. Before we can talk about the way we handle our time management, and we're going to do that practically. We're going to talk about practically handling your resources and your relationships, things like that. But before we do that, we got to get our head around this, because if you don't believe in God, if you don't have an eternal mindset in His things about that are kingdom work, then it just doesn't do us any good. So Abraham's, we made it a little acrostic. We said, first of all, you got to follow God's proclamation. Abraham followed what God said. When God speaks, do you obey? If you don't obey, if you're not submissive to the Lord, if you think you're the Lord of your own life and you own your own stuff and you'll decide whether to do it or not, then you're already disqualified from being a part of kingdom work, because God works through us to make kingdom work happen. Another thing is that you have to adapt. You have to adapt to God's plan. God's plan is not always our plan, is what we just sang about. And so how do we adapt? We have to, in other words, we got to change our lives in a way that's, this world does not teach us that we live for others. It doesn't teach us how to serve others. It doesn't teach us how to love one another. It teaches how to get for yourself, claim all your own rights, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, and you do what you got to do no matter what. That's not the kingdom way. And if we're not willing to adapt to that, we're in trouble. We need to be willing to invest as well. We talked to the kids today about you got to give. You got to invest into God's kingdom. And that's the I, is investing in God's kingdom. We also have to be a part of the T there represents trusting in God's provision. Abraham trusted that God would provide even though he didn't see it. He was sold out. And then H, hope in God's promise, knowing confidence, having confidence in the future that God is in control and willing to see ahead. It says that Abraham believed in a land that he couldn't see, a land not built by men, but built by God. So that's important for us to review. These kind of things, Abraham was, and that was in Hebrews chapter 11, 8 through 16. Now today, I want to read three verses. It's in Hebrews chapter 11. If you're there, I want you to follow along. Make sure I'm not making this stuff up. And we got Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 17 through 19. So if you'll join me there, let's read these few verses about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Would you pray with me just for a second? Lord, I pray that these words, which are difficult because they refer to a difficult story in the Old Testament, that they might come alive to us today. Is there anything we can learn from such a strange and wild act that occurred so long ago? If there is, Lord God, speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. I think the principles that we need to talk today about kingdom expectations, managing our expectations. And let me just give you three things that I see right here. And this is a brief lesson today, but it's a lesson that's so deep. It's one of the, in fact, in this whole series about talking about investing in God's kingdom, it's so vitally important. These three points have to exist and you have to grab onto, or you won't understand everything that God has for you in the kingdom. I think these are the hardest ones. They are hardest for we, especially as Americans, to grab onto. Managing our expectations. Faith to the next level is what I'm calling this today, because we talked about faith, following God, and what Abraham did. We talked about that last week. Well, this is part B. This is the next level, the next step. What is it? Number one, here's the first truth. This is tough. Did you hear what it said there? It said that by faith, when God tested him, okay, testing will come even if you're right with God. Bummer. I thought if we got everything right with God, everything would go okay. Didn't you? I mean, come on. Where was that? I didn't sign up for this. Testing will come even if you're right with God. If you go back to Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, it says God, do we have that verse? Do we have that verse to come up? Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and Abraham said, here I am, and he replied. And as you read on, he asks Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. It's that crazy story that it's just so hard for us to understand. But the point right now I want you to see is that when God tested Abraham, Abraham was doing all the right things. He was doing all the right things in all the right ways. He was right with God. He prayed all the time. He went to church, blah, blah, blah. He sang the hymns, did all that stuff. But you know what? Even when you're living it all right, God tests you. Storms come even if you've built your house on the rock. Isn't that what Jesus said? The storms came, the winds came against the house. The house on the rock did not fall. The point of that story is the same storms, the same winds, the same rains come to the house, whether it's built on the rock or the sand. Friends, Christians, people who are right with God get cancer. People who are right with God and know the Lord and love Him and do everything right still have problems with their finances. Still get fired from their jobs, still have relationship problems. You know what? Because we're human beings and we live in a world that's fallen and there's all kinds of things going on. You can still have a car wreck. Somebody can still run into you. Tragedy still comes. Sickness is still there. God still tests you even if you're right with Him. Please understand that today. God exercises us. He stretches us. He pushes us. He strengthens us because He's not satisfied with you to stay the same. And in order to change in any aspect of life, you know this to be true. And that is, in any aspect of life, if it's going to change, if it's going to get stronger, it has to be tested. Church people are not. People know that principle. It is a truism in all of life. You have to stretch. You have to be tested to become stronger. God was the original. He says you will be tested. So let's expect it. Let's manage our expectations. This year, you're going to be tested. What's your faith going to do? Ah, Tim Tebow, he learned that last night. Sorry. Boy, he did, didn't he? Did he? You know what, though? Think about it. The world is more interested right now in how that quarterback, Tim Tebow, who has proclaimed his faith so publicly, they are more interested now in what he's going to say than they were before when he was winning. Because the world pays attention because they know that the world is not perfect and that everybody's tested. And they know anybody, while they're winning, can say, I love God, you know, and I make a touchdown and I do the Tebow, all right? Now, I know Tim Tebow's faith is genuine. I've read a lot about him. I know his family. And I expect him to be a great witness. I've already seen his comments after the game. And he has been very gracious to his opponents and still gives the glory to God, which is appropriate. But now's when people are listening. People want to know what your faith does when it's tested. So he stretches us. Number two, it says that not only did Abraham test, when God tested him, but it says he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Sacrifice is required even if you don't understand it. Because it says Abraham didn't quite get it. You read that story? Do you get it? I don't get it. I get it after the fact. Oh, God provided a lamb in there, and you know, and Isaac didn't have to be sacrificed, and we can explain it all away, and you've heard it done 100 times in sermons where people are trying to explain that. But friends, Abraham didn't understand that, and if you would have been there, you wouldn't have understood it either. And there's things that happen in your life that God wants you to do in your life that you don't understand. I just got to know why, and then I'll do it. You know, we've been doing that since we were 2 years old, haven't we? I don't want you to go out and ride your bike in the street. Well, why? Because it's dangerous. Why? Because I said so. End of story. Right? We all want to know why. We all want to understand. We've wanted to know that since we were 2 years old. And you know what God says? You don't always got to know why. I just want you to do it. It's kind of God's way of saying, because I said so. That's faith. Why? Because I said so. And it says that Abraham, although he didn't understand it, he went ahead and obeyed God because he knew he believed in what God could do. Number three, we must believe God is able even if things look impossible. We must believe that God is able even if things look impossible. He believed it was impossible. If I was to go and sacrifice Isaac, first of all, that involves killing him. That's not only against what God would even want us to do. He had to be totally confused. But how could he be the one who blesses the world if he's dead? I just don't get it. But I do believe that no matter what, God can make that happen, because God could raise the dead if anything else. And I want you to know that there's always hope. Well, wait a minute, but how? There's always hope. In Luke 18, the verse that you have up there before you, it says that Jesus said, how hard it is, you've heard it say about it's easier to go through a camel to go through the eye of a needle than someone to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus' response was, "What is possible, impossible with man is possible with God." That's the phrase that you really need to take home with you today. God can do the impossible. But how? God can do it. Well, that could never happen. Oh, it couldn't. How big is your God? But if I sacrifice that, I might lose my job. If I stand up for what I believe, I might not be as usable by God. If I do that, if I give to the church, I might not be able to. If I do this, if I give time doing that, I have to give up time. What? God can take care of it. Are you ready and willing to invest in eternity today? If you are, it starts, first of all, with a relationship to the Lord. The Lord's name is Jesus. Do you know him today? Are you willing to invest in that eternity? Are you willing to say, you know what, this year I'm going to be tested. This year sacrifice is going to be required in the name of the Lord. But I will believe in a God who's able to make my life better. A God who is able to give me strength, courage, and wisdom to not only get through stuff, but to have the victory. So that things become eternal. So that things that I invest in have eternal value. That I can make a ripple effect throughout eternity in the kingdom of God. Wouldn't you like to do that? I'd like to do that. Are we ready though? We have to manage our expectations. Oh, you're not going to go through next year without tests. You're not going to go through 2012 without having to make some sacrifices. But when you do, the God who is able will do the impossible through your life, and great and mighty things will happen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all that you do. And I pray that today, this day, you would continue to speak to our hearts and that you would allow us to make the commitments we need to make to you, to take a step closer, to know you better, and allow you to have your way with us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise team's going to lead us in a song real quick. As they do that, if you feel God moving in your heart to make a decision, first of all, you can make decisions between you and God right where you are. If you feel like this is a church maybe that you'd like to be a part of, we open our church membership. That's a decision we ask that you come forward to make. Maybe today you want to rededicate your life. Maybe you just want somebody to pray with you. We'd be happy to do that. And maybe you're just going to go from this place, you want to know a little bit more about Jesus, you want to get a little more information, you can contact us here. That's what it's all about. But now's the time for you, just between you and God, as we stand, as we sing this, I Stand Amazed, a few choruses, and then we will leave.